Then I am joined by our resident film. I've been calling you a resident film maniac. Is that all right, Stephen?
Yeah, there's a fair bit of maniacalness in it. Yeah, I hope it's not too controlling, too monomaniac.
No. It's all in good jest. Yes. And also nominee for best producer here at 2SER for 2018. Congratulations, Stephen.
Oh, thank you.
Didn't quite pick it up.
Didn't stuff enough ballots into the ballot box.
Guess not. Didn't grease enough palms.
I know.
But you've done a fantastic job here with us on Wednesday Drive all year, so thank you so much. You might have heard a lot of the stories about film festivals throughout the year, because there's about a dozen of them that go on throughout
the
year.
There's even more than that. They're the main ones, and then there's like another 20 or 30 more.
So if you add in all of those film festivals, plus all of the, you know, flicks that you've sort of Oscar contenders, and then add in, I don't know, how many movies have you seen this year, Stephen?
Oh, I don't know. That's a difficult question. Yeah. I wouldn't. It'd take a while to tally up. I'm probably around 150 or so. Yeah, it's 150.
Far out. I mean, that's like 10 a month.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
Maybe more, 12 a month. But yeah. Well, there we go. But 2018, it's coming to an end. It's time to do our best of list. I've done the music ones. I've been talking about that. But film, you know, for me, I don't think it's been a great year for film, but that's just the films I've seen. I haven't been to the movie theaters that much, but not like you, of course. But you have been, so you're the man to tell us what the year was like.
Well, I think it started really promising. I mean, what's interesting, often these lists, you just tend to bias the films that you've more recently seen because they're more in your memory.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought we actually had some really good, we had a few good, really good mainstream films early in the year.
And you just told me, reminded me of Shape of Water, which I remember seeing that around Oscar time, beginning of the year, and really getting blown away. I thought it was a really cool movie.
Yeah, very moving and just very well, beautifully shot. Yeah. Great acting, yeah. I mean, the nominations, the main ones, are fantastic. Like that, three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
That's right, yeah.
Frances McDormand won the best actress. I just thought that really nailed Trump's America. That's just all the anger, you know, just that sort of rage.
I liked it. I just didn't like the end. But I liked it as a general movie, yeah.
And The Phantom Thread. Now, when I heard I just love everything P.T. Anderson does. But when I heard P.T. Anderson's doing a film about the fashion industry, I'm like, oh, this is going to be boring. But no, I mean, he found a way to find a sort of the obsession of this, you know, making these perfect costumes can be a really interesting film.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
When you got him and you got Daniel Day-Lewis in his final film.
Yeah, wow, that's right.
I mean, a great actor who just, you know, he only hand-picked like a handful of roles. He's not like John Travolta or something where you're going to expect some pretty, which if we're going to talk about worst films, yeah, there's one with John Travolta in it.
Oh, well, that could be for next week. Yeah. Worst but like, as we mentioned, you did go to a lot of film festival movies. You love speaking to foreign filmmakers and directors and actors. Really, and there's been a heap of great films to premiere in Australia over that time. What was some of your highlights?
Well, I think one that's still out at the moment is a Japanese film called Shoplifters.
Oh, how great is it?
It's a fabulous film. And it really looks at a family and looks at also the idea of the relationship between sons and daughters and sort of, you know, an authentic family and an inauthentic family with this group of, they've sort of abducted a kid and they're all involved in like this little kidnapping operation, but they're like dirt poor and it sort of is about survival. So it's actually very complex.
And it's a really, from a Japanese perspective, yeah. I found it was quite unique because a lot of you don't see many Japanese movies sort of telling a story like this, I don't find.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was so well made and fun and heartwarming and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and the director's so good with his children. I mean, he's done a lot of films about children and growing up. And they're not at all sort of syrupy or inauthentic. That really, you get a feeling that he has an understanding of, and he really does, you know, really draw, you know, and sort of puts a mirror to the lens of parts of Japanese society that they kind of, you know, want to sort of keep a little bit sort of, because it is a bit troubling, I mean, yeah.
So Shoplifters, one of the best foreign language films. It's also been nominated for best foreign language film at the Golden Globes.
It won at Cannes, and I think it's going to
go pretty well probably at the Oscars as well. Mm-hmm. What else did you see?
Okay, another one is an Italian film called Happy as Lazzaro, which was unexpected. It won Best Screenplay at Cannes.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the Italian Film Festival, and it's just a really strange, unusual story that just, I mean, you really just have to go with it. It's not an easy sort of story to explain.
Right.
It's kind of like the sharecropping, which was like this illegal, like in Italy during the fascism and pre-fascism, where they basically forced people to just work on the land and just exploited them and barely paid them a wage and found every excuse not to. So you got all these sort of dirt poor people from the regions, and suddenly it's 1980 and they're still doing it.
So
it's like, and there's like a magical realism to it of that they sort of this Lazaro character is this like innocent like farm folk character. He kind of looks like Frodo Baggins. He's like just a real innocent sweet boy who just, because he's been a peasant his whole life, just wants to help people, and he's a real genuine sort of tender thing. And suddenly his way of life's gone because, I mean, what they're doing was illegal, and he ends up in the city, in this bit like in the big city, and sort of trying to sort of survive.
Okay, so it's a sort of a very personable character that you sort of get to know and like in the film, is it?
Yeah, and it's kind of like a fable. Like, I mean, Italy does those, Life is Beautiful. It does do those sort of fable-like stories. And yet, I mean, a lot of fables get very corny.
Yeah.
But this really was really interesting. And I mean, there's one part in the movie where everyone just gasps. I'm not going to give that away, but this is one where you go, yeah, very moving.
All right. Well, that's one to get onto. And there's also, I think that's part of the Italian
film. Yeah, it was part of the Italian Film Festival,
Happy as Lazaro, good one to keep an eye out for. What else we got?
I think one that really, I mean, there's a lot of these first-time film directors too. I mean, this is what really is impressive. Border, a Swedish film by Ali Abbasi, like an Iranian immigré. It's really another unusual story about mixing in like Norse tales about trolls into a sort of modern day sort of contemporary.
Oh, cool.
And it's just not what you think, because it's just this sort of strange mixture of a relationship drama and a sort of a crime procedural thing, because you're thinking, what's the border thing? She's like working in customs. So you're thinking, oh, is this a refugee story? What is the actual thing? And it's a really interesting and really bizarre.
Okay.
Very imaginative.
So it's a fantasy?
But it's sort of set, it really is putting a lens, like it's set in a contemporary Sweden.
Okay.
It's all about sort of race and culture and...
And Swedish film, there we go. It's called Border.
A good social realist one would be one called Custody, which was a French film.
Mm-hmm.
Very much about the custody battle of obviously there's been some violence and she's fled with her son, and it's sort of the drama of getting involved in sort of trying to obtain custody and the sort of conflict that it involved in, you know, the father still wants to see the son. The son's pretty terrified because he's quite irrationally angry at stages, and it really just builds the last 20 minutes. You're really on the edges of the seats.
Ah.
So it's certainly one.
Good to look out for. Custody as well. These are amazing suggestions, and we've got to look out for them. But I also want to talk about some of the blockbusters that came out in the middle of the year.
Yep.
I know it's not your thing, Stephen, but it's.
Oh, no.
I've been looking at them, and I'm trying to work out which ones were actually good.
Yeah.
Did you see, Black Panther was one of the ones that was pretty popular in the middle of the year.
Yep.
But then when the Sydney Film Festival was on, I went and caught the final, I think it was the premiere of it, was Black Klansman, and a Spike Lee film, which he's been nominated for at Golden Globes as well. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's a... Yeah. I mean, I didn't think it was his best film.
Yeah.
But I still... Yeah.
No, not like his classic ones.
I know. It's not like Do the Right Thing. And I mean, even he got Game, which I still... Yeah, I just love. Yeah, I think he really did. But yeah, I think it's a good film. And I always love to see Spike Lee getting... accolades,
My wife and I saw it, and she was actually quite anxious in the middle of it because it was quite a tense sort of set bit in the middle there. And I was always wondering how realistic it was because basically having a black guy pretending he was in the Klan. it was pretty interesting storyline. The other blockbusters that came out were movies like another episode of Mission Impossible, which I just didn't even see. Another Jurassic World. I was like, what?
How many Jurassic Worlds have there been? how many times can you experiment with dinosaurs and stuff?
Now the dinosaurs are trying to get them off an island, and it's like
I did hear one thing about that though. Apparently in Jurassic World, every time that someone got eaten by a dinosaur before it, they were like, they'd say something like a Trump supporter would say. So they'd be like the racist, like anti-immigrant person.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, T-Rex would come down and gollop them. So all the people that sort of became dinosaur food were all the sort of xenophobic.
Ah, so there's like a little political message.
Yeah, so there was
there.
A little bit I of a like sort of it. Political message, which.
I of course, recently, and I was just talking about it before, Bohemian Rhapsody's
gone
gangbusters.
Yeah.
And I think Rami Malek's going to be
up nominated for Best Actor. And, and really did, got into that, to the Freddie Mercury in a way that. Yeah, I mean, I was certainly wondering how they would actually do that because they look so.
I still would have liked to have seen the Sacha Baron Cohen version, yeah, just to see what he might have done with it.
Have been more even hammed up. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I really enjoyed just watching them sort of making the music of all the sort of, I mean, those sort of scenes.
Yeah.
So I mean, the one with music that I really love was a Russian film called Summer.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, no one knows much about Russian rock and roll, do they?
No.
This is just before communism, so they're like allowing rock and roll in a sort of limited way. And so you have like these pioneering like Russian artists, and it's all about like they have all these recreations about, you know, the music that they're listening to, all the American and you know and British music they're listening to, so Bowie and Talking Heads.
Yeah.
You have like Psycho Killer, this great sort of scene of Talking Heads of them imagining that on the Russian subway, which is just absolutely crazy. So these are like these punk and sort of rock and roll icons that all died really young.
Yeah.
And about their sort of life, and it's like this, like the summer. It's like their sort of peak of their creativity, kind of like a Kurt Cobain or something. It's sort of, you know, how
okay
a sort of these they have these brief brilliant lives.
It sounds like my sort of movie, Summer.
Yeah.
It's a Russian film.
It's a Russian film. Okay. It's directed by Kirill Serebrenov. He's actually under house arrest because he's a Putin critic.
Right.
So I mean, it is all about rebellion
Even
and how
better.
Rock. It's all about how rock is about rebellion and like how Russia, you know, the Russian authorities wanted to limit it in a way, but they didn't like the fact that rock and roll is about rebellion and passion, and they're kind of thinking, oh my golly, then I mean, they wanted it to give enough rock and roll music that they weren't, you know, clamping down too much.
Yeah, yeah.
But they could see that, I mean, the spirit of rock and roll is about challenging authority, and
sure.
It's all about that and the wild parties and just the love of music. And
hey, cool.
It's a really favorite. It's just got so much energy. I mean, it's just a really.
Where would I find these films? Like, obviously, foreign language films, you can't often, you know, find them.
Some pop up on Netflix and Fandor and Stan.
But what's that one, Fandor?
Fandor is like a more sort of specialized sort of internet streaming service.
Okay.
Some of them, it's actually, I mean, some of the Russian films actually get popped on, they shouldn't, but they get popped on YouTube not long after their release. So you can actually see.
Yeah.
See them not that long. I mean, I shouldn't really maybe tell everyone that, but yeah.
Well,
you should actually go out and pay something for it.
But where would you buy? Could you buy the DVDs, I guess?
You can still get the DVDs. And I mean, when they've often they might take 6 months or something. That's the only thing.
Oh, really?
They don't necessarily rush out, and because they're probably not thinking Australian audiences have the massive. But I mean, I definitely think go out and see something like Shoplifters, which is out at the moment, and Burning, which is coming out soon, is a Korean film.
Okay.
Based on Haruka Murakami, a Japanese novelist, probably one of the leading Japanese writers, a sort of love triangle film, which just really builds up. That'll be coming out, I think, in January or February, and that's definitely a foreign film to catch.
Okay, and obviously the Oscar season's coming up soon. A lot of blockbusters always time their releases at the beginning of the year. Do you any sort of see coming around the corner that you think would be worth looking out for?
Well, I haven't seen all of them yet, so I mean,
it's
a little bit of. But I'm looking forward to The Favourite, the Yorgos Lanthimos film. He did The Lob. I don't know if you remember The Lobster, which you either love or there was a really bizarre film with Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz.
I've heard of that. I haven't seen it though. Yeah,
it's a really bizarre film.
Yeah.
And he's always had this. He's part of what's called Greek Weird House, and he's gone and now done a couple of films in English.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is his third English language film. And
okay,
it's been nominated for a lot of things and.
Ah.
I certainly think that's interesting. I mean, there's a few like A Private War about the war correspondent Marie Colvin, which I think Rosamund Pike is up for Best Actress.
Yeah.
Now, she was a war correspondent who got killed in Syria when she got targeted by the Assad regime, and they actually like targeted her actual hotel.
Okay.
So it's all about her life as a war. I mean, she'd already lost an eye, so you'll see her with an eye patch throughout.
So who stars in that?
Rosamund Pike.
Rosamund Pike. Yeah. Cool.
There's the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I think the Coen brothers always do interesting and funny stuff.
Coen brothers, love them.
And I'm really looking forward. I mean, this is out at the moment. The Sorry to Bother You. Have you seen this film?
It's the only film, the movies I really want to see.
Yeah,
right,
I really
want
to see this call center.
I haven't been yet.
I've heard really good things about that. And I'm hoping that will get a, and of course Vice, just to see how Christian Bale become Dick Cheney. I mean.